wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God and faith, contemporary religion and the Bible. This is the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. I'm Pastor Gary. I'm your host every Tuesday and Wednesday. It's such a privilege to be back with you once again and to be able to share with you. This week, we've called our series Astrology. Is there a better way? Love this this particular subject. This week, we want to dig into this ancient practice. It's becoming more and more popular today. It just seems to be exploding everywhere you look. And today, we simply want to ask, does the Bible have anything to say about astrology and the zodiac? Now, you just please hang on to the second half of the program. You will love this particular discussion. Now, today, our co-host is Mrs. Lindy Sparing, and Lindy's the prayer ministries leader for the Seventh-day Adventist Church right here in South Australia. Now, welcome to you, Lindy.
Thank you very much. Privileged to be here.
It is wonderful to have you on board once again. You're becoming a regular part of our show.
Well, I think it's very difficult to say no to you, Pastor Gary. That's the issue.
I suppose when you get someone with their arm behind them slowly being raised up.
And you're about double my height, so that could have something to do with it.
Ah, dear me. Look, you're a lady who's involved in just so much. I mean, you lead prayer ministries, you lead a resource centre, you preach almost every Sabbath. You have an ageing mum over in Melbourne. You've got a home life. How do you manage it all?
Well, I have a wonderful husband, Glenn, and when I took on all these roles, he's right there in the background supporting me 100%. He does the housework. He'll even cook dinner tonight, and he drives me to places. He prays for me. He supports me. So I'm very blessed. And apart from that, I've got a lot of energy. I'm quite a high-energy person. But apart from all of that, the main thing is I find that when I give my heart and life to the Lord every day, He'll sustain me and He'll guide me in everything.
Yeah, look, it's amazing how that happens, isn't it?
He's an amazing God.
You know, when you get passionate about something that you really enjoy doing, it's amazing how the energy does actually just keep rolling.
Absolutely.
And you can actually tell that. I don't think you actually need sugar to be able to give you that that passion.
Naughty little reminder. I did have a bit of sugar this morning, didn't I? I was a bit hyper in the meetings we had today.
Oh yeah, for those of you who aren't here in Adelaide, we did actually have some ministers' meetings here today, and we were in the same ministers' meeting led by our good Pastor David, and so we come off here just a little bit jaded today, but Lindy, one thing I'd just love to be able to bounce off you now. I love just looking and keeping up with the religious press and just seeing things that are happening in the religious world. Now, I was reading Premier Christian News, which is actually one of the major religious news sites in the United Kingdom, and this article just took me more than one glance, and it was entitled "York Minster Faces a Backlash Over a Controversial Metal Band Concert." Now, I just read this, I sort of thought, what is going on here? And this is what the article said. York Minster is facing a backlash over a planned concert by a metal band, Plague of Angels, which parishioners have described as an outright insult to their faith. Churchgoers are outraged by the band's association with Cradle of Filth, an extreme metal group known for selling T-shirts featuring blasphemous texts about Jesus, which Rolling Stone called the most controversial shirt in rock history. Speaking to The Guardian, a member of York Minster congregation said, "This is not merely an issue of taste. This is a question of fundamental ethics and respect. The congregant described the concert as an outright insult to the faith it represents." The controversy has sparked an intense debate over the suitability of such a performance in a religious and culturally significant venue. While York Minster aims to showcase its newly refurbished organ during the concert, critics argue that hosting a metal band with such a contentious past disrespects the sacredness of the cathedral. Now, of course, Lindy, one of the things I'm conscious of, York Minster, what's that? Well, for those who are here in Australia who may not be familiar with York Minster is in the city of York in the UK. This is the cathedral, the Church of England Cathedral in that particular city. It's actually second in line to the Archbishop of Canterbury, who, of course, is the primate of the Church of England.
Yes.
So this is number two, and this is the seat of the Archbishop of York. Now, to me, when I was reading this, you know, the number of things actually stood out. You know, there's a concert, it's being played, it's a heavy metal band, going to be played in church. In other words, the church sets the scene for the, for this, heavy metal rock band. Now, Lindy, I'd really like to just bounce something off you. You know, to me, I struggle with that form of music myself. You know, I myself, and we're going to dig into this in a few weeks' time. We're actually going to have Pastor Wolfgang Stefani come, and his doctorate's actually in music, and we're going to be digging right into this subject. It's a really important subject to actually understand. So I actually don't want to move into the subject of the music today. But the question I've got for you is this, is do you think that the Christian church generally has lost an understanding of, you know, the sacred versus the profane? You know, I mean, to me, the thing I'm conscious of is, you know, I've had the privilege of traveling around the world, but when a person goes and enters a mosque, they're expected to take their shoes off. When a person goes into a synagogue, they're meant to have their head covered.
That's right.
But today, amongst the Christian world, increasingly, God's holy name is blasphemed. You find people are saying with monotonous regularity, "Oh Jesus," or "Oh God,"
taking
His name in vain. This is something that is just happening repetitiously. You know, the Holy Bible is simply just something that is as common as any other book. There's nothing sacred about it. And then of course you come to the sacred spaces, if you like, the church. You know, Lindy, I can remember when I was growing up as a young person, we actually started to attend a church over in Sydney, and I would have been 10 or 11 years of age at the time, and I can still remember at the time myself and one or two other 10-year-old boys were running around inside the church and running up on the pulpit and down from the pulpit. And, you know, one thing I learned that day was that there was something sacred about the pulpit, because one of the church elders, certainly, and in those days the church elder wasn't afraid to actually tell off some
hold accountable
10-year-old boys who are tearing around the church. But that particular day, the thing that I suppose I learned was that, hey, there is a differentiation between the church itself and what you can do in the church and what you can do outside of the church. Now, look,
you've got to find a balance, though, in all of this, don't you think? Because a building of itself isn't necessarily holy and meant to be sort of... I know some churches have messy church nowadays where the children do all sorts of messy activities and things like that. I think it's finding the balance in this. And like you said, when you're talking, I'm getting a bit fired up, Pastor Gary, because I'm like, hold on, we live in a country that if we ever blasphemed or said something against those who worship Muhammad or those who worship Buddha or those who have other beliefs, we'll get into a lot of trouble. Yeah. Why is it that people are allowed to misbehave or to be so rude and blasphemous towards what Christians hold dear? And I think it also comes back to respect.
Yes.
Respect.
Yes, yes.
Do we respect ourselves and do we respect others? Like, aren't I allowed to believe what I want to believe? Aren't I allowed to show a certain amount of recognizing that something is sacred and not profane?
And, you know, I'm really interested Lindy, that even, you know, if we look at, you know, our Indigenous friends, I mean, we've certainly respected Uluru to the point where you're no longer you're allowed to walk to the top of it, simply because, for no other reason, not because it's unsafe or anything, but simply because the government wants to show respect.
That's right.
To Indigenous beliefs.
Yes.
You know, there's a principle here of respect. And, you know, to me, as I look at it, I say, hey, you know, what's occurring in over in the cathedral at York Minster in the UK, what have we actually lost here? Why is this something that seems to be becoming increasingly an issue
Well, who's pushing it? The enemy's obviously pushing it. Like, really, regardless of the spiritual aspect, this York Minster place has values, a set of values and a set of functioning rules, if you like.
Yeah.
And shouldn't whoever gets involved with them respect those and come in line with those, even if you put the spiritual aside? But I think it's really disappointing that we live in a society that respects very little and holds sacred not very much. You know, of course, there are many who do, but a lot of society just doesn't value what is sacred, like the Word of God.
Yeah. And even respecting the other person's opinion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we are entitled to believe what we believe. That's what I love about God. Mm. He doesn't try to force us to believe or to be something. He gives us that option and shows us a great way. Well, I think it's a better way, but
it's one of those things I actually love about my country. You know, for many decades, you know, there was certainly a certain level of respect for what other people held dear to themselves. It was just fundamental respect throughout society. But you know, to me, it's really interesting that, you know, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus on one particular occasion did something that to me is almost, to many people, is almost out of character for Jesus. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Now, this to me is something that, you know, it steps outside of Jesus being presented as gentle Jesus, meek and mild. You know, so often we actually have the view of Jesus as, you know, gentle, meek and mild. Yet here he forms a whip and he drives the money changers out of the temple. Why? Because they are not respecting. They're turning the temple into an income generating source.
And that was more important to them than to be caring and nurturing for the folk who perhaps struggled, the widows, those that were poor, who couldn't perhaps afford a really nice sacrifice. It must have made him very, very sad.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Yeah.
No respect.
Yeah, it's a huge challenge, I think, in the contemporary world in which we're living. You know, how indeed do we train people? How do you teach people the subject of respect
and holding things sacred?
Yeah,
that are sacred. Yes.
Look, let's come to some music. This is Jeff Bullock again, and he's singing "The Great Southland." Please, please enjoy this this really beautiful song.
This is your nation. This is your land. This common future. This shared hope. Land of reaping. This land of harvest. This is your land. This is our home. This is a great Southland of the Holy Spirit. Land of red dust plains and summer rains. And in this sunburnt land we have seen His love. To this great Southland His Spirit's come. This is your nation. This is your land. This land of plenty. This land of hope. The richest harvest is in her people. From age to age, His Spirit's come. This is a great Southland of the whole.
My name is Pastor Matt Hunter from the Birdwood Adventist Church. This year, we are starting an exciting new initiative. On February the 8th and the second Saturday of each month, at 12 noon, we'll be having a free community lunch at the Birdwood Institute building, which is located at 44 Shannon Street in Birdwood. This will be followed at 1 p.m. by a presentation on topics of how Christianity relates to our world today. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity for you to ask your questions of the presenter. The program will finish by 2:30 p.m. The first presentation is being presented by myself, Pastor Matt Hunter, and is titled, Is the Bible a Reliable Historical Document? We would love to invite you to come and join us for this exciting program.
And folks, that's going to be this Saturday. If you happen to be up in the Adelaide Hills at any time this Saturday afternoon, then that is the program that you need to be at. You'll love listening to Pastor Matt Hunter. He is a great preacher, and meeting there. They're going to be having some lunch together, and then the program straight after that, and then the opportunity. I love the way he takes questions. Matt's going to be allowing you to text in. your questions to him, so that he can respond to those questions. You'll love that that opportunity. Now, folks, we do have a giveaway today. Now, today's is a real beauty. We've actually got the New King James Version of the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, then this is your opportunity to grab. This is a hardcover Bible, New King James Version, and in it, it's got the Bible Study Helps by Pastor Mark Finley. Now, this is really, this doubles its value straight away. Do you know, there are so many subjects that he deals with. A financial secret most of the world doesn't know. A modern day movement. It talks about prophetic themes. It talks about Jesus, why his resurrection is so important, the world's longest and most amazing prophecy, a date with destiny, the judgment, is that something to be feared? He deals with a host of very practical subjects, discovering God's guidance, Jesus, discovering your prayer life, facing fear, getting through a painful divorce, Bible studies on each of these subjects. Folks, you'll love this particular Bible. It's the New King James Version. It's the Bible with the Mark Finlay helps. Now, look, folks, if you would like your own copy of this Bible, all you need to do is to text us. Now, our studio text number is 0488 808 11. That's 0488 808 11. In fact, why not simply program that into your phone so that any other offers that we've got, you can just simply hit one button and up comes the opportunity to text. This isn't a phone number. This is a text number, 0488 808 11. And in the text message, all you need to put is SA302. That's five digits, no gap, just SA for South Australia. And the code is 302. That'll go through to our robot. He's a friendly robot, is our robot. And he will come back to you. He'll ask you just a couple of questions so that we can get this Bible to you in the fastest way possible. Now, that phone number, that text number again is 0488 808 11, and the code is SA302. Now, folks, welcome back. You are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Pastor Gary. And today my co-host is Lindy Sperring, and she's the prayer ministries leader right here in South Australia. And this week we've actually called our series Astrology. Is there a better way? You know, today we just simply want to ask, does the Bible have anything to say about astrology and the zodiac? Now, you know, Lindy, I don't know about you, but astrology in our world just seems to be exploding. You know, I love going to the markets whenever I see markets, and whenever I'm there, you can be guaranteed there'll be some sort of a new agey type shop there pushing astrology, the zodiac. Maybe they're pushing the tarot card. But this just seems to be exploding. You know, even here in Adelaide, one of the nightly news channels has introduced an astrological segment. Couldn't believe it.
It's been in our magazines, women's magazines particularly, for many years. Like the Women's Weekly have always had a write-up like that, and many of the newspapers have had it. But it seems, as you say, to be going even into more and more places.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It just seems to be multiplying. It's almost as though we're being force-fed this stuff. I mean, where is it coming from? Well, I think the Bible actually tells us where it's actually coming from. But, you know, one of the things I'm just really conscious of, Lindy, is sometimes people actually, you know, see this as a little bit of fun, you know. I mean, astrology is just fun, you know. I mean, it's fairly inconsequential, you know, who believes this stuff anyway? Whereas I'm really conscious that if you go into the celebrity world, there's actually quite a number of people who take this stuff incredibly incredibly seriously.
Absolutely, and they often base their futures on things that they read into things from astrology.
Yeah. But look, Lindy, what I want us to do tonight, if I can, is just dig in maybe a little bit to the to the Bible, and just ask this question: now, what does the Bible have to say about the stars and astrology? I mean, does it support it? I mean, yesterday we actually had a really interesting discussion by my mate Will and Brenton, and they were looking at a little bit of the history, a bit of the background on this, and they touched on the story on Daniel 2 there, and they sort of pointed to we had a God in heaven that would be able to that could do what the astrologers acknowledge that they couldn't do. But does the Bible have anything else to say on this whole big subject?
Well, I think we have to look in the Bible. We'll find many stories about that people use the stars for navigation when they're in ships and boats. So obviously there has been the stars and the sun and the moon. Not only do they mark time and day, etc., they've been indicators, if you like. But people have used the stars to chart their way as well.
In other words, the stars have actually were created by God. I mean, that's a story that you certainly get way back there in Genesis chapter 1. He created the sun, the moon, and the stars.
Yes.
And the purpose of that was that they might be markers.
Yes.
Of the days.
Yes.
And of years.
But like a ship's captain used to use a sextant, wasn't it, or some sort of instrument to guide their cruising, their voyages,
yes,
so that they could see where they were and know how far they had to go. So obviously there was a positive aspect to looking
at
the
stars. But that would be that's what we would call today astronomy.
That's not astrology.
I mean, this is something that we certainly acknowledged, and for centuries, certainly the ancient sea captain, so long as they could see the stars, could work out pretty much where they were. So that was a very foundational and important role of the stars.
Absolutely, not just to light the night sky, but also to guide. So, and then there's one particular star that we can think of, isn't there, that guided?
Yes, yes. Tell us about it.
Well, the wise men obviously recognised that this star was to guide them to Jesus. They'd seen in the prophecies, and God used the star to guide them. The kings used the star as a navigational marker on their way to see baby Jesus. So, obviously, there are many things in the Bible where stars and sun and moon and that have been used to help guide and to keep time and all of that. But it seems like somewhere along the way, people have gotten a little bit confused about what they're really meant for.
Well, you can certainly go back as far as the ancient Babylonians and even before then, where you started to get putting the constellations together into an astrological type format, into a zodiac, if you like.
That's right.
And people started to read their own future from the zodiac.
Well, they obviously imagined that they were reading it. And also, of course, the zodiac talks about, like, if you're born in a certain month, you come under this star, and if you're born in that month, you come under a different star or zodiac sign. And, I've had people across the years talk to me about that and try to explain it and go, oh, yeah, you're typically this or you're typically that. And I'm sort of a bit puzzled about it all. I can't really see how it works. But what I think concerns me the most is that people will often read their star signs. It has somebody's written something in it, often fairly
general
and generic, if you like, and this is going to happen, that's going to happen. It's not really how I want to guide my life, Pastor Gary. I don't know about you.
Look, I mean, does the Bible say anything, though, about astrology as a whole? I mean, what exactly does it say? I mean, we've certainly get those cases in Daniel chapter 2 where the astrologers were unable to do what King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do, and it was only the God of heaven that was able to do what the king wanted. I mean,
well, they were divining in a sense, weren't they? Really weren't seeking out truth through God.
They were trying
to divine it through the enemy, I believe.
Yes, yes. Okay, so in other words, you've got you've got that particular picture. But, you know, to me, one of the things that I'm just really conscious of is that, you know, when you jump into somewhere like Deuteronomy chapter 18, you get here. The story of this chapter is actually quite remarkable because you get wicked customs. The people are about to come into the land. This is the Israelites are about to come into the land of Israel. They're about to inherit the land. And what God actually says to them is, I want you to avoid certain customs. Don't become involved with what the people are involved with in this land. Now, to me, the thing that stands out to me is the way that there is, if you like, a bucket of different practices that are all put together in this particular passage. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9, and this is what God through Moses is saying. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found amongst you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. Now, this is the practice of human sacrifice is what they're talking about here. This is an abominable practice that those nations had started to develop. Or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, you know, the person who goes and reads the tea leaves, because this is something that, you know, it's part of a package here, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God.
It's very comprehensive, this list, really.
Oh, it is.
It is very comprehensive. And as Christians, we should be able to recognize, because God can give us a spirit of discernment, that some of those things you might think they're a bit of fun, even a cookie with a fortune cookie, things like reading your horoscopes, things like believing that your personality comes under a certain zodiac, things like, look, I've seen this. I've actually seen Christians promoting things like your birthday month stone and all of these other things are representing things that aren't what God wants us to be looking at. He created everything.
It's interesting, actually. Later in the week, we are actually going to have a discussion, particularly on the, you know, the birthday stones and some of this type of stuff. Well, in fact, our good friend Pastor Fabiano is going to be leading a discussion on that particular subject, because it's a really key matter. You see, so many of these things are actually fall into the category of people see them as being they're just fun.
And harmless, and make a good gift for my grandchildren. But I think that we're stepping into something we need to be very careful of, and that's why the Bible warns us against these sorts of things. So it's finding the balance here, don't you think, Pastor Gary, between, you know, I can look at the moon and understand what time of night it might be, or the sun to understand the time of day, and I can look at the stars and perhaps guide my way with a ship, but they seem to go this next step that then they are divining what that particular means.
You know, to me, there's nothing more beautiful than going out to the night sky. You know, one of the things I just had the privilege to do last year was to travel through Western Australia, and some of those outback towns, miles from anywhere. You go out late at night and you look at a perfectly clear sky, and you can only stand in awe at the amazing things that you're actually saying. But that's not what we're talking about. That is legitimate. God intended us to be able to enjoy
absolutely
those those things. He gave them to us. He gave those things to us to mark days and years. He gave those things to us with, for a particular purpose. He gave them to us to be able to navigate ships at sea. All these things are a gift from God. But, you know, to me, as I look at this, I turn around and say, hey, we've actually come to a situation now where people are starting. People for hundreds and thousands of years have said, the stars can actually tell my future. And God, when the Israelites were moving into Canaan, he was abundantly clear. I don't want you to be involved in these things.
And what can seem innocuous can lead us down a path, because it can desensitize us to the truths from the Lord, and it can also lead us down a path that will take us far away from God. I think also we also know it says in the Bible in Isaiah 13:9-10. Things at the end of time, for the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. And this is some of the signs that we will see in the sky.
Yeah.
But again, they're not of themselves something that we can then take and we'll analyze this and we'll analyze that in our own strength.
Yeah.
Because the enemy then can put thoughts and ideas into our mind and take us down the wrong path. That's my biggest concern.
Yeah. No, look, that's good. Lindy, look, let's come to a little bit of music. This is a really beaut musician. This is Manuel Escorcio. I heard this gentleman in concert a number of years ago. He is probably one of the best natural voices that I've ever heard. This is Manuel Escorcio, and he's singing Embrace the Cross. Please enjoy.
I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer. Jesus Christ now lives in me. Embrace the cross where Jesus suffered, though it will cost all you claim as yours. Your sacrifice will seem small beside the treasure. Eternity can't measure what Jesus holds in store. Embrace the love the cross requires. Cling to the one whose heart knew every pain. Receive from Jesus fountains of compassion. Only He can fashion your heart to move as He. Shame and disgrace you bore upon your shoulders. light that comes from dying. Come trace the steps the Savior walked for you. An empty tomb concludes Golgotha's sorrow. Endure then till tomorrow your cross of suffering. Embrace the cross.
Embrace the cross.
The cross of Jesus. The cross. The cross of Jesus.
And that was Manuel Escorcio, Embrace the Cross. Emmanuel has one of the most amazing natural voices I have ever heard. If you ever get an opportunity to hear him, please take that opportunity. Folks, we do have that giveaway offer again. Look, if you would like your own copy of the New King James Version of the Bible with the Mark Finley Helps, this is our offer for today. Now, if you'd like to text us, our number is 0488 808 11, 0488 808 11, and the code for that text is SA302. That's 0488 808 11, and the code is SA302, and that will connect you to our robot, and he'll ask you just a few questions so that we can get this Bible to you in the fastest way possible. 0488 808 11, and the code is SA302. Now, folks, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Pastor Gary. And today my co-host is Mrs. Lindy Spering, who is the Prayer Ministries Leader here in South Oz. And this week we've called our series Astrology, Is There a Better Way? And today we simply ask, does the Bible have anything to say about astrology and the zodiac? Really appreciate what you've shared so far, Lindy. Look, can you just open things out just a little bit more? We've looked at Deuteronomy chapter 18 there. Is there anything else in the Bible about what God's saying about the astrology type practices?
Well, we want to see what God says, don't we? Often we want to do our own thing. So in Deuteronomy 4, verse 19, it says, "And when you look up to the sky and see the sun, the moon and the stars, all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshipping the things the Lord your God has apportioned to all the nations under heaven." And I think we know that people are worshipping the created rather than the creator. And so God, I think, is saying to us, we're not to worship the sun, moon, or stars.
Yeah. In other words,
and that means zodiac as well.
They are actually these things are powerless because they do not influence our future. Our future comes from another source, and we're going to come to that.
We'll come to that
in just a moment. But what else does it say?
Well, I've got another scripture, Pastor Gary. It's in 2 Kings 17, verse 16. And it's reflecting back to Exodus, really. "So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God," this is the Israelites, "made for themselves a molded image and two calves, made a wooden image and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal." So they weren't worshipping God, who'd brought them out of Egypt, who'd shown them signs and wonders like, the parting of the Red Sea and the cloud that covered them during the day and the food that was provided. And they were worshipping the host or the sun, moon and stars of heaven and Baal. And it goes on to say they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire and practiced witchcraft and soothsaying and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. So I think the Bible's really clear.
I think it's
no question.
I think it's significant here, Lindy, that there are actually a number of things that are actually put into the same bucket. It's not just the worshipping the host of heaven. And some people might respond and say, hey, look, you know, I'm not actually worshipping, my horoscope when I read it. You know, I wouldn't do that. This is just a little bit of fun.
Bit of fun.
But you know something? There are some things that go into the same bucket. You know, if I go into the, maybe to a nightclub environment, and I might say in the nightclub environment, I'm only there to have a little bit of fun. But you know, there are some things that actually go along with it.
Absolutely.
It's all part of a bucket. You know, I mean, it's where, people go to listen to a form of music that, to me, I think is personally, I think is hugely problematical.
It's where that's not the only thing that goes on in those places, Pastor Gary.
I won't go. We've got a wide audience on our drive time program, so I've discovered. To me, it's part of a bucket of things that are all linked together. Lindy, look. I really want us to go in a slightly different direction if I can. You know, to me,
you're the boss.
This is something that that seems to be almost repetitious within the Word of God.
Yes.
You know, I'm conscious that even in Egypt, you know, there were enchanters and astrologers in ancient Egypt who were unable to match Moses. In ancient Babylon, there were astrologers who were unable to match Daniel.
That's right.
You know, you get the God of heaven having a power that the astrologers did not have. So why do so many follow astrological forecasts? Now, you know, to me, the scriptures are actually speaking against astrology. But what would you say to people, Lindy, about people who want certainty about the future? Is there a better way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Pastor Gary, my husband Glenn and I had this scripture that just burnt into our hearts from Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. And when we were in Victoria and we were questioning, Lord, we feel you want us to go to South Australia. We're not sure what's happening. There's only a job for 1 year, for 2 days a week. What's going on? And this scripture just kept coming to our hearts. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yeah.
And lean not on your own understanding. And that is so hard. We've got to trust in him. Sometimes it's hard to trust in him with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. And yet, when we trust in him and not all of these other things that are distractions and have no power of themselves.
But you haven't finished that passage.
I'm coming to it.
You're
getting excited.
To it.
In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths.
Yeah.
And so if we acknowledge God, instead of all these other things, these astrological things, these zodiacs, these star signs, these birthstones or whatever else people are looking to, he will direct your paths. And my testimony is that when we just stepped out in faith, we didn't know what the future held, we have this amazing ministry and life here in South Australia.
So in other words, you have found in your own life that by committing your way to the God of heaven,
yes,
he has been the one who has actually taken control of your life.
Absolutely, Pastor Gary. I don't even have the words to explain to somebody and encourage them to stop getting involved in things that are of no value, no earthly value, no eternal value, and to look to God in all things, you will find your life is just transformed and changed.
Yeah,
you can trust in him.
Yeah.
He knows your future. He's not going to reveal it all to you, but he'll guide you along the path and he'll bless you along the way.
And you know, Lindy, there are so many Christians who can actually testify exactly the same thing. You know, I cannot believe the number of people that I speak to who just look back, who are able to look back at the end of their lives and say, hey, something, there has been a divine force directing in my life. You know,
Supernatural, isn't it? To me, it
is remarkable. You know, if somebody had said to me way back all those years ago when I was a struggling, long-haired character trying desperately to get through my college studies, that this is the way your life will go, I would have taken it with both hands and said, Lord, thank you. It's not, in fact, I would have gone further. I would have said, Lord, it's not possible, because I'm conscious that, you know, having grown up from a dysfunctional family, and you turn around and you say, hey, you know, can the Lord, change? Can the Lord, give direction, when you've come with little direction?
And he can, Pastor Gary, and I've had a similar background like you. But remember that first part of Proverbs: trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, he'll direct your paths. It sounds so simple, and it is, but there's so many people who just struggle through life who could have such a blessed, purpose-filled, amazing life when they put it all in God's hands. There was another scripture too, Pastor Gary, in James 1,
verse 5. Let me share this one. I mean, to me, this is an incredible promise. Again, you know, I love James, because James has actually got so many fantastic promises.
Absolutely.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You know, to me, I think this is absolutely marvelous, because what we've got is a God who says, hey, you're lacking wisdom. You don't know which way you should go. You don't know what to do today. Don't go looking for the horoscopes. Don't go looking for the, you know, in the newspaper, written by some guy who's just talking in general language, but rather, what I want you to do is ask of me.
Absolutely.
And it will, and wisdom will be. Have you found that in your life?
Yes. Yes. In fact, when I don't ask, I get into some trouble sometimes. So need to ask for wisdom. Ask him each day to guide your footsteps, to guide the way you're going to go.
Yeah,
it's so exciting, Pastor Gary. It's the best high you could ever have, is to have your life hid in Christ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To me, there is such a superior way of walking. You know, to me, I just wish this is something that I could actually pass on to so many people. You know, Lindy, I find when I commit my life to the Lord early in the morning.
Yes.
And that's when I do like to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people who likes to get up early, likes to be able to spend a bit of time in the Word. I like to be able to spend some time in prayer. I like to be able to give my life to Christ. But, you know, to me, it just appears that repetitiously, continually, what he does is he is the one who takes control. He directs, he guides, he shows the way ahead, so that the stress that so many are under, I'm not under.
Absolutely. And I can see that reflected in your life, Pastor Gary. And I know you like to go for good walks as well, and I'm sure you talk to the Lord then as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's a wonderful thing, Lindy, so superior to the methods. Which
There's a better way, isn't
it? It is a far better way. Mm-hmm. Look, Lindy, let's bring things together. Lindy, I'm just wondering, would you like to maybe pray? Because I'm conscious that there are some people out there that may be struggling, and may, you know, with the future. And, you know, they've consulted horoscopes, and, you know, it becomes a little bit of a habit. Instead of committing their way to the Lord God, would you just pray for those individuals that
Absolutely.
The Lord will take their life and control it and direct it?
Absolutely. Father God, we just acknowledge the wonderful God that you are, and your creative power and your creative insights. You know the end from the beginning. You are the Alpha and the Omega. And Father, may you forgive all of us who at one time or another have looked outside of you to find our way. May you forgive us for that, Lord, and point us in the right direction. Show us your love and your grace and your mercy. Show us the way forward, Lord. Give us that great desire to each day spend time in the Word and to spend time connected to you, the source of power, and invite you into our lives to guide us, to lead us, to open our hearts and minds. And may you give us that wisdom that we need, Father. And may we remember that you just really give us strength for each day, one day at a time. And so, Father, all of us who are listening and all of us who are participating, may we just remember, Lord, that you are Lord of everything, that you created everything, you created us, and you want what is best for us. We praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, friends, it does look like our time's up for today. Thank you so much for joining Pastor Gary and Lindy Sperring on Drive Time Big Q&A. Please join us tomorrow when I'll be sharing with Pastor Ricardo as we continue digging in this absolutely amazing subject. Really look forward to your being with us. But until then, please remember Christ said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give isn't like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. May our God abundantly bless you.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.